Good afternoon. We're very happy to be here as part of a guerrilla presentation. We're very happy to align ourselves with the anti-war movement. We see that as an essential part of the anti-imperialist struggle that's going on in Africa. And in fact, we look forward to long and fruitful collaboration, since it's been very difficult over the years to get many of Africa's struggles heard about in North America. The Angolan struggle, perhaps, is a case in point. In March of March or April of 1974, I was part of a group in Ottawa that was hosting the visit of Dr. Agostinho Neto, who was the head of the MPLA, the Mouvement Populaire pour la Libération Angola. He was there as part of a solidarity tour. We were trying to get publicity about the struggle that he had been leading in Angola for about 20 years already by then, I guess 15 to be more correct. And we had not been able to at all get any meetings with Canadian officials. Why? Because his movement had been in a very bitter struggle to liberate Angola from colonial rule by Portugal. Portugal at the time ruled several large territories in Africa. They had refused to decolonize with the first wave of national liberation in the early and mid-60s, and they had kept their colonies, and that had forced the African people to take up arms and fight for their liberation. Canada, because Portugal was part of NATO, refused to take a position against Portuguese colonialism, no matter how brutal it was, no matter how many times it was condemned in the UN, no matter how many times groups here tried to show how bad it was. There was like a news clampdown, and it was very difficult to get news out about it. We could not get to see anybody higher than the desk officers at External Affairs at the time. And then in April, while he was visiting us here, the coup occurred in Portugal that chased the dictatorship out and eventually installed the democracy that exists in Portugal today. At that moment, suddenly the government was very interested in Dr. Neto, and the rest of his tour literally had to be cancelled while we got in to see the Prime Minister, got in to see the Minister of Foreign Affairs and all sorts of things. It's funny how things can change that quickly. He had to go back home, of course, as soon as he could, because now the struggle had taken a different turn in Angola. Angola is situated on the west coast of Africa, way down at the southern part below the equator, facing the Atlantic with Congo, or what Democratic Republic of Congo today, what was Zaire then, and below it Namibia, and on the other side of it Zambia. It was a complicated struggle, and when he went home, he found himself, instead of being able to receive power as a new government and an African government and take over, he found himself faced with a terrible civil war. The Americans suddenly got a wind of what was happening, and the war in Vietnam had just finished, so they threw all their energy at this point back into making sure no more communist regimes took over. Now, Dr. Neto was a socialist, he was a pan-Africanist, but the Americans were afraid that he would go a communist route and nationalize the resources. Why were the Americans that interested? Well, Angola is a very resource-rich country, oil in particular. It's also very close to South Africa, and South Africa was seen as an ally in those days. The apartheid racist regime in South Africa was seen as an ally of the United States. And because of this Pavlovian reflex against communism. So they intervened, supporting rival liberation movements out of Congo, and invaded from the Congo. Roberto Holden led the FLNA. And then you had FLME. And then you had from the south, with much, much support from South Africa, a movement called UNITA under Jonas Savimbi. That war was only won at that time in 75-76 with the intervention, with the international solidarity of Cuba, who sent large forces to help turn back the South African forces and Jonas Savimbi from, in fact, invading the capital, Luanda, and literally turning the national liberation movement into a neocolonial success. The Cubans came. They helped force back the South Africans. They helped force back the Zaire-based troops. and eventually a peace was installed with MPLA in charge. So just to finish, 25 years of struggle, we end up with finally Jonas Savimbi dying in the earlier part of this year, and a peace accord being signed in Angola. The question now remains how to rebuild a new Angola, how to rebuild it when we know that so many great companies, the big companies are there for the oil, the diamonds. We know that there are many sources of arms around that are going to keep stability very difficult to establish. And what can we do in Canada? I think because it's happened so fast, we're asking the same question, and we're going to be trying to hopefully discuss that with you today.